Today's guest is a stand-up comedian from the UK. He's also known for his hilarious sketch videos on YouTube, as well as his pro-evolution soccer streams on Twitch.
It's me, Little Daddy. How you doing? Do you want little to come
daddy?
And play?
Little
Daddy? What's this thing? Yeah, sit on it.
What? Sit on what?
Oh, that's like his thing, his catchphrase, you know.
Little Daddy's catchphrase is to sit on it.
That's a bit of fun.
A couple years ago, he blew up on Twitch because of his brilliant football streams, where he plays the manager, does voice acting for other characters in the universe, and comes up with entire storylines.
You're not scoring currently, and you're not assisting that many either, and we want to put that right. We need you cutting in having pops, because we know you have a wonderful shot and celebration to boot.
Thank you, Gaffer. I've been under hanging out with Mr. Risa. Going to Odeon Cinema, I watched Oppenheimer, Gaffer. It's like Star Wars. It's freaking awesome.
Language, please. I don't like swearing.
In this episode, the boys talked about all kinds of things, from what it's like auditioning for roles, touring the country, and selling out for HelloFresh.
I had to be like, oh, it's a sub. And I had to do this with my hands, which listeners can't see. But I had to be like, oh, because that was a Subway thing they were doing. Yeah, I did that for £1,000. I know, man. I know.
You're listening to Bored with Nelly.
For these are just
good.
Our annual catch-ups.
Yeah, sure.
My man, I'm excited to chat again. I don't remember if you were. Did you get married last time we talked, or were you in the process of getting married?
Probably in the process. Do you remember when it was? Last time
it was like a year ago. I want to say.
I've been married for just over a year, so I'm not sure.
It doesn't matter. How's marriage?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Thanks. Yeah, it's
how's the marriage? It's like it's a very different question depending on the like where I put the emphasis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's been interesting. Like, it's weird. It's been like the so we have a cost of living crisis. It's called in the UK. Which is our new thing that we have, where everything is just too expensive.
But like, so, that's everywhere, no? Well, I mean, you know, isn't that kind of a problem?
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know. I hear people say it's everywhere, but I
guess there's levels to it.
Yeah, it feels worse. I think everything feels worse in the UK, right?
Because you're not. Yeah, you're paying a lot to live in a place that's kind of miserable.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah. so yeah, it's like as soon as I got married, it just I felt the cost of everything go up, like just food and stuff, like even like meat, like it's all just it's all kind of ridiculous. You have to budget a lot more and plan things out, and like, you know, it's not as fun. So like, yeah, there's been struggles with some stuff, but overall it's great.
Yeah. It's like besides the unaffordable living,
yeah,
it's actually pretty great.
Yeah, yeah.
And the weather.
And the
weather. Yeah, what are the desirable qualities of England, if I may ask? Because I don't think I've ever gotten anyone to tell me why they remain in England, besides the obvious ones like family and friends.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have my family and friends here as well, like as I was born here.
Okay.
It is. No, London is. I do. Obviously, I'm being a bit sarcastic. I really love London. Like, I do think it's an amazing city, like from my perspective, for my work. So like stand up acting.
Oh, sure.
There's so much opportunity. There's so much, like, especially when you're brand new and you're doing the open mic thing. There's a lot here. It's not necessarily all good, but you can get on stage, and that doesn't exist around the rest of the country. And I know a lot of European countries just don't have stand up really at all.
A scene. No, not really a scene.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, it is. I do really love it. And like, I love working in London, and like all the like the way it is over here, all the auditions and all your agents and stuff are all based in London as well. So,
right.
Yeah, I like it. It's you know, very busy city. There's a lot to do.
The Gunners are there, of course.
Of course.
Gunners fan, I assume. You go to a lot of games.
I do, yeah. I got a season ticket, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So
you think this is the year?
Probably not. It could happen. It could, but I think Man City are too good still. But I don't really care, man. I enjoy going and I just enjoy when we're playing well, to be honest. I'm not one of these, you know, there's sports fans that are just miserable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like their whole day is ruined because of a performance. I don't remember the last time my whole day was ruined. I've come to expect Serbia coming. Like I've embraced that Serbia will have tremendous potential and at some point flop on an international level.
Sure.
And then for football, like I love Red Star Belgrade. So like anytime they get into the Champions League, it's already like above my expectations. So if they get like trashed by Man City, which they didn't, they only lost 3-1 to Man City in fucking Manchester, which is great.
Yeah.
But there's no like expectation there.
And how do they do in their league?
They win it like every year. It's okay. Just like, it's like voting in Russia. I feel like, right. You know. If someone said, okay, $1 million, where are you going to invest it? Who's going to win the next election in Russia or some actual like investment? I'm taking that one any day of the week.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think I allow myself to sort of, I have like, I'd say 30 minutes max where I can be annoyed about a sport result, you know? I can't.
Does it vary depending on the kind of result it is? Like if you, let's say, okay, if you lost like 2-1 and you were winning 1-0 in the going into the 8th minute.
Yeah, and it depends who you're playing. Right? Like I think also the nature of the thing. So like we lost to West Ham a few weeks ago at home and we had so many chances. Wasteful, completely wasteful. And then they go and score and then score again. And it's like that sort of thing. That's just miserable. Or like losing to a rival. Like if we lose to Tottenham personally.
Oh, yeah.
That really annoys me. That's one of the worst feelings for me. But then it goes away. Like it's fine.
It's not that big of a deal. Yeah. No.
It's all right. Yeah.
You're just sad for like a week and a half. I mean, but if that's the, I mean, is that a thing of like football is the only thing you have in life? So that's why like it has so much weight.
Maybe.
What does that come down to?
Maybe. There are people that put too much into it. Definitely. Like I was watching there was this clip that went a bit viral of this Man United fan on one of these fan channels talking about like how he doesn't have a lot of family anymore. And Man United are really important to him. And now they're playing like this. So he's even more sad. And it's like that. You can't live like that, you know, because they don't care about you.
Right. They
don't. At all. They can't.
Yeah. You know. A part of you just like knows the trick there, which is like this tribalism to a club that, I mean, really doesn't have much to do with you. I don't know. As I get older, I stop caring. I still care, but I don't care as much. I'm not as emotionally invested as when I was like a kid or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. But there's a lot of men who are basically like children, right?
Yeah. I was going to ask you this because we were talking about living in London and work there. Would you still live in London if it wasn't tied to the career as much?
It's a good question. I've been thinking about this recently because we currently... Sorry.
No, it's okay. I could have edited that out, but that's all good.
I muted it when I coughed.
That was really good. Nice of you. That no guest has ever done that. Holy smokes. This guy, everybody, we got a professional on our hands.
Yeah. Now, because I was thinking about this, right? Like, because, you know, to rent in London and most popular cities is super expensive. And with, you know, if we're ever going to buy anything... I was looking at that because, again, it's going to be a lot more expensive here. And I was looking around at where I'd move to. And I'm not really sure. In the UK, I'm not really sure where I'd go because it's not like cheaper enough. I would definitely miss Arsenal. That is one of the things I was thinking. I was like, I do really like going on a Saturday and that just being part of my day. Like it's just quite a nice hobby, you know, quite nice escapism that I do enjoy. And it's not that hard.
Other places have clubs. Other places have clubs that you can enjoy.
Sure.
You won't be as invested, but you can
still
enjoy.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
And I sit with the same people because it's a season ticket.
Oh, really? That's adorable. Yeah, yeah. That's hella cute.
Yeah, so it's quite nice. And luckily, the people I'm with are really nice. So there's that. There's that like ritual thing that I would miss. Yeah, apart from that, I mean, this is the thing, right? My brother has moved recently, just for temporarily. He's moved to Abu Dhabi for a work thing. And he's just out there in the sun. And it just looks really nice. And I don't know if I'd move there, but I do sometimes think, like, wouldn't it be cool to just move somewhere really nice? I guess I could do that if, like...
Colder months, no? Colder months, maybe.
What?
Like, move for the colder months. Move, yeah, have a base for, like, say, harsh winters. I don't know.
That would be cool. I guess that's the dream. I'd love that. I guess if I could become, like, a huge Twitch sensation, then you can kind of be anywhere, right?
That's a funny sentence. I guess if I could just become a huge Twitch sensation, that'd be pretty cool, right?
Yeah. You could be anywhere. You could be anywhere in the world.
Can you not do that now? I mean, with some good planning?
Like, be a Twitch sensation?
No. Come on, dude. Be a Twitch sensation.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, you have a tour scheduled. I believe it starts in May, right? Or June.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, you have that period where you have to be there. But then other times, I don't know. I guess you're still doing weekly and probably several times a week shows.
It's all, to be honest, the thing is, it's all over the place, my stuff, because it's like, it's a mix of stand-up, streaming, then trying to audition and stuff, and then also like writing. So it's like, I don't know, it's like I'm
half of it you can do anywhere, half of it you can do, half of it you can do anywhere, half of it you have to do in person.
Yeah. So I think I've always struggled with, well, since the end of since lockdown ended, that's when stand-up came back. So then I have been struggling with balancing things because it's like, it's hard to know how much effort to put into different things. I don't really know because I love stand-up, but then I just did the Edinburgh Fringe. Well, I did it in August and I didn't particularly enjoy it. It felt like a bit of a waste of time.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
why?
Because you're doing your show every day, or I don't know, you're doing 24 shows in a row pretty much. And it's exhausting as it is. And the thing is, the cost of Edinburgh, basically, they absolutely take the piss now with them. The cost of accommodation is crazy up there. So you're paying loads to stay there. And then it becomes a thing where it's like a lottery now. And it's like, I have to get something out of this for it to be worthwhile. Like, luckily, I do make a profit financially.
Right.
But it's a lot of work. Like, it really is too much. Like, you feel absolutely exhausted. And I don't know if that was worth it, you know? It's just like, could I put my energy in something else?
Yeah. It's like finding this a fine line of like doing what you enjoy, but also doing what works and what's getting you, you know, an income and is your career in a sense, right?
Yeah, it's just balancing that all out. So,
like, could you just, if someone said, like, we were talking about the being a megastar. Okay, let's just hypothetically say tomorrow night, the fucking PES stream takes off. You start averaging like 2,000 viewers per stream. And that is now your most, your biggest income stream by some margin.
Yeah.
Would you be able to say, okay, this is going to be what I'm going to dedicate most of my time to? And I would do the other stuff either later or I will, I'll put it to the side and do it a little less now.
I think it has to be. I think you have to prioritize it, right? Because especially now since I got married, it's like I'm not just living for me now.
Right.
So if there was anything that could make me earn loads of money, that would really help. And the thing about the PES stuff is it's not like I'm selling out in any way. It's not like I'm doing something like kind of lame. Like it's not like I'm just doing a sponsored stream for loads of money. It's like, I love that stuff and I get to be so creative in it.
And there's you also get to do comedy in there and you also have full creative freedom. You also do it on your own time. You can do it remote. I mean, it's such a all around gig. I mean, it's just missing the element of not being actual stand up, but in a way it's comedy. You're bringing your own comedy to it.
Yeah, and you can be more creative than in stand-up, right? Because it's a different thing, because you're not looking for the laughs every other sentence right. or whatever, right? It's
you can create kind stories, of, you yeah. can create yeah levels to it.
Yeah, it's a more artistic thing. Like, it's very different to stand-up. I always get asked, like, whenever I get interviewed somewhere, like, for some press thing, they, you know, to promote my shows or whatever, they always ask, like, what I prefer or if it's, like, the same and stuff. And it's, like, they're completely, completely different things.
Right.
Can't really compare them, like, totally different. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been thinking lately that I should put more effort into Twitch and try and social media and stuff, because it's like, because that's
hell yeah,
Twitch is like a, it's a you know, you're getting that income every month.
Yeah,
whereas yeah. You freelance, do you ever
yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah,
that's my,
and that is what you do. Yeah, and yep. How quickly do people pay you? Are they all right time. Or
yeah, all no problem. I, oh, no I work problem. For real. I work for real companies, like
yeah. It's
like I don't work for like random guy in the basement of some sort of fucking of his mom's house. Hey man, can you do some graphic design for me? I'll pay you in like 3 months from now. I do. Okay, so I have a few gigs that I'm currently doing. So one is like I make these, and this changes from time to time, but currently one gig is I make these short form ads. Basically, there's a company that makes ads for app companies. Super quick, like 15 to 30 seconds, write a script, a bunch of different hooks, film a few different shots, get a bit of B-roll. And I hate doing editing now. So actually we have an editor within the company, send off the edits. So that's one job. And then I have other clients who are like, oh, we just need you to be in front of the camera, like read a script for us. It's literally like you would do for like an acting job, except I would do it for a YouTube video. So, cool. Yeah, like that's
good.
That's
man.
Been a really good source of income. So I have a different problem. Well, I think I'm on a similar level maybe, but like I'm trying to figure out how much time do I want to dedicate to these things that I know that need to generate me money and to you know survive, and how much do I want to put into my own creative pursuits? Because I've noticed that if I tip the scale too much in any direction, I'm not happy. Here's what happens. If I tip the scale in the too much money, I don't have time to do what I like.
Yeah.
If I tip the scale too much in the doing what I like, I feel like I cannot get to the same level of creativity. It's a really weird thing, but like I need the mundane bullshit because it produces the most fun, creative ideas. I don't know if you have experience like that. Like I find good ideas in the boring times and the mundane tasks. I don't find good ideas when I'm just at home thinking, oh, this is such a fun thing that I'm doing. Like I love it. I'm going to think of creative, funny ideas. Like most of the good stuff comes for me like when it's kind of in the background.
Yeah, it's weird. I think it's like I've been trying to come up with some scripted ideas for like, you know, TV, film, whatever. And when I'm completely left alone to just come up with the ideas, it's like I can't do it.
Impossible. For me too. Impossible.
And it's so frustrating, isn't it? Because you feel like an idiot.
It's the worst. Right? It's the worst because like even now when you have so little time that's free and you set it aside, like I'm going to do this. And then you just get to the desk and you're like, fuck, I got nothing. I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, that's really weird. Yeah. I've
well, how do you make a show like The Office? You have to be someone that's worked in an office.
Yeah.
You have to be someone that knows the inner workings of an office. You can't make the show The Office without ever being in an office. It's such a weird catch 22, right?
Yeah, but then he did make Derek and he never worked in a care home.
what's
have you seen it?
Maybe, and they're good or
you
no?
Not seen...
No, it's a good or no?
No. I mean, I don't know. People might think it's good, but he does it. It's he does quite an offensive. I don't know, man. He's doing a face the whole time, and people aren't sure if he's like supposed to be like disabled in some way.
Ricky Derrick. Oh, Ricky Gervais is Derrick. Oh my God, yeah. It's got pretty solid. Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. 8.1 on IMDb. I mean, that's pretty good. Did not expect that.
I'm not a fan. Sorry.
Sorry, Ricky. You fuck. No, I'm kidding. But not the point being there is like, I think you need you need to stay someone in the normal life to have ideas that are going to be appealing to the average individual. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm saying that in a condescending way.
No, I know what you mean. But yeah, it's still difficult. Like, it's, yeah. Even for us, like, we have all these, like, the BBC puts out these, like, guidelines for people pitching. They're public. And it's like, these are things that we're looking for this year. And it's just all this, like, it just gets so hard. It's like, they don't want it to be set in London. They want it to be more of a regional thing, whatever. They want, like, a family, like sitcoms that are suitable for families. And I'm like, already I'm thinking, wow, I don't know what that is.
I'm out. Yeah.
So,
two criteria, I'm out.
That's all quite hard. I've got a meeting on Monday about, are you familiar with BBC Radio 4?
I mean, it sounds like it's the radio of BBC. I don't know what.
Yeah, it's weird. It's been around for a long time, and it's like they do a lot of comedy on it, like a lot of like scripted comedy and stuff, and stand up as well. I've done stand up on there.
Wow.
Yeah. It can be quite good, and I've got to come up with some ideas to pitch to them. Yeah, I forgot what my point was.
Yeah, are you going to say that it's hard to come up with a script for BBC 4 Radio, or are you going to say something?
Because
that's what we're talking about.
I think it's going to be easier, though. I mean, I've kind of gone off what I was, but it's fine. Because I've got the pressure of the meetings on Monday, so it's like I need to come up with stuff urgently. And I think there's always that thing where, and that's something with streaming, actually, that the great thing about streaming is that, like, streaming something like Hot Pepsi, the Pez thing, is that you have the pressure of a live audience, and it's going to start at, like, you know, 9 p.m. or whatever, and then you just have to be ready. And I think that really helps.
No backing out.
Yeah. In fact, I saw a, there's a documentary before I knew about all of the allegation stuff. There was a couple of Woody Allen documentaries.
Oh, what's the Woody Allen allegations with the miner or something?
Yeah.
Okay, I do know. Carry on. I just want to make sure we're on.
there was something really
I'm thinking of Woody Harrelson.
Oh, no, like, he's all
what
right.
What has he done? I love that guy. No, I'm kidding. Carry on.
So he used to, he was part of some, I don't know, drama group or something where they had to put on a play every single week. And because of that pressure, he would just, like, they had to do it. Like, there's no option. Like, because then you don't have time to overthink things, right? You just do it. And if you notice his movie career, like, as a director, he was, like, putting out a film every single year, which was ridiculous.
That's insane.
And direct. Obviously, a lot of them are really bad.
But right.
To do one film is ridiculous anyway. And I find that it's like a similar thing with stand-up. What's really good is, like, with the Edinburgh Festival, the reason that so many of us keep doing it is because you've got that pressure of, I need a new hour of comedy by August.
Right.
And you do it. You just do it. Even if you don't think you physically can, you have to, right? There's no choice. So I wonder if you could put yourself under that kind of pressure creatively.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe going forward, because these clients and these current jobs are giving me a sufficient stream of income that I will have the freedom to say, okay, let's say I'm just hypothetically speaking, next year I'm going to be okay financially. I'm going to take the year off and just focus on only doing what I want to do. Try to set timelines, deadlines, and all that shit and see how it goes. Worst case scenario, it doesn't work out. I can always find new work, especially in this space with the experience that I have.
That's great.
If it goes great, fantastic. I'll stay and keep doing this. I'm very... Is that your cat? You got a cat?
No, it's wife or cat walking around. Making noise.
Making noise. All good. No, all good. If it works out great, I can focus more on that. If it doesn't, I have another thing to fall back on. So... I think the ultimate goal I would say is to keep doing less stuff for other people and more stuff for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could be done. It's just, it needs to happen naturally and it can't be too forced. Like, I don't want to force it.
That's the problem. I mean, so do you know what you want to do creatively? Do you know exactly what it is, or are you stuck on that?
I have things that I enjoy doing. I mean, I always want to have a podcast, whether it goes well or not, because I love talking to people and I don't think that's going to change. The only real thing that would ever stop me is like, oh, okay, it's not doing well. It's not getting a lot of views.
Mm-hmm.
But from that perspective, like, I don't really necessarily care. Like, eventually I think it could do well. But even if it doesn't, it's not a good enough reason for me to not do it.
Yeah.
I love comedy in some form. I love mm-hmm. either, whether it's sketch comedy or I love stand-up. So something related to comedy. So podcast, comedy, maybe comedy podcast. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something in that realm. That would be fun for me. Like, I just need to be a little bit more, I guess I need to care a little bit less about, you know, financially worrying about, you know, my next paycheck. So I have a little safety net, which I'm okay with now, but I think I can make it a little bit bigger, and then I can kind of decide what to do.
Do you ever do video essays?
I used to do video essays. So like, mostly like on FIFA and FIFA related things. I had a video essay on like why I love the old PES. It was like a 20-minute essay. Mm-hmm. I did a video on why FIFA sucked. That was a 40-minute essay.
Yeah.
I did a video on FIFA Street. That was 15 minutes. Like, those kinds of video essays. Mm. I love doing it.
Well, oh, yeah, okay. Well, you've already done that stuff. Yeah.
But I don't know if I could do it for, like, for video games again. I could do it for other things. I wouldn't mind to... Actually, my game plan would be to have more video essays on the guests that I invite. So if I could dedicate, like... I don't know, a week or a month to just having a good 20-minute video that's a topic my guest brought up or a topic that my guest really elaborated in the podcast and just dive deep into that topic using clips from the show. So for an example, I have like the Steve Murphy, the Narcos guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming back for another episode in February. We're doing it again. And I'd love to see if I can set up some questions beforehand. And then use the answers to create like a longer story. So you can still listen to the podcast by itself if you'd like, but I'd also love to have like a video that's like how much of Narcos is actually true. And then it's a 20-minute essay, you know?
That's a good idea.
I love writing, creating a narrative for an entire, I love the script writing process. Like that's
cool.
Yeah. I write out scripts. Almost everything I do now is scripted, like short form content, long form content. Only the podcast is unscripted.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I'm kind of been stuck on what to do creatively, but I think I had an epiphany the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do maybe a podcast that I put out monthly, so a comedy one.
Yes,
but I was thinking like doing like a true crime parody thing.
Okay,
do you know what I'm mean? Because then in
you've
that
got my attention.
Yeah, in that it could be almost whatever I want, so it can be as stupid as I want. Because I hate those. Well, I hate true crime anyway. I think it's really horrible, even though I sometimes do watch and listen to it. It's absolutely disgusting the way that people get entertainment off of this stuff, you know. And
I agree.
Have you heard Sword and Scale?
Mm-mm, that podcast. What's that? No.
It's this American guy who just talks about true crime stuff, but it's awful. It's kind of engaging. But he's a bit of an asshole, basically. And I found him inspirational. And I'm thinking of doing something like that. Like if I could do something monthly and I could bring in all my sort of comedy friends who are really good at improvising and stuff and do interviews with them and something like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's an idea I had 2 days ago.
It sounds like it'll last.
It sounds good, yeah.
It depends what you're trying to get out of it. Like, you know, if you're trying to make money out of this, I think podcast is like the bottom of the barrel. Like there's
totally. I think it's more an audience, really. Everything is about an audience for me now, because it's like, how many people can I get to come to see me live, you know? So I've got my tour. And I've actually, have you ever done any, I don't usually do this sort of thing, right? But manifesting, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I've manifested, yeah.
Yeah, I've not really, yeah. So I've written on a post-it note that I've got in front of me near my monitor. It just says sell out tour. So hell, I've got my tour in May and June. If I was to sell out, comma, tour. Yeah.
Be a sellout, do a tour.
Sell out. Sell out. It just says sell out, yeah. And I've done that. Curious. I'm doing some sponsored streams as well this month.
Are you really? Are you serious?
Yeah, I did a HelloFresh one.
Hell is a sponsor? No way.
Yeah, I just thought it's easy money. It's not a lot, by the way. It's not a lot.
I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
I think it makes it worse. I just thought, because I kept getting offered these sponsorships, and it's like, I mean, I don't mind saying it's like $300 to just talk about HelloFresh a few times.
Is that all it takes to get on the pot, but on the stream? Buddy, I'll throw up $300. No problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel great about doing those, but it's just like, well, that's just very easy, like, you know.
Yeah, I'm with
and
you.
I need it right now. Like, I'm finding the income a bit. It's a bit weird. It's a bit unpredictable.
What about the auditioning stuff? What are you auditioning for?
So loads of stuff. I'm quite lucky. I get put forward for quite good stuff. So I auditioned for a role in the Barbie movie, which obviously I didn't get.
Get the... Oh.
Yeah, it was... Have you seen it? I haven't seen it. But
I have
it
not
was...
seen it yet. I wish I saw it. I went to see Oppenheimer. I was very disappointed. I wish I went to see Barbie.
I'm not interested in Oppenheimer, really.
It was really bad. It was okay. Unwatchable.
Really?
Yeah, it was so boring and just so poorly edited. And my only thought was like, damn, I in the theater next to me, someone chose to go to watch Barbie and they fucking were probably having a blast and I was in there miserable.
Yeah. I auditioned for a character who ended up being a guy who basically walks around with Will Ferrell for the whole film. So that would have been amazing, obviously. So it's like,
holy shit,
the opportunities are there. Like, I don't know. It's like, I see it as a positive. Like, obviously I'm up against so many people and they basically see, they look at your face and they decide basically if you're right or not, you know, but I still think it's a positive that the opportunity is there. I had one little acting job. There's a sitcom, a BBC sitcom called Such Brave Girls, which is really good. It's done really, really well as well. And I'm in two little scenes as that, as like a priest, which was really nice to do. Yeah. I had like,
I can't really see you as a priest if I'm being honest. Like, I don't know.
Why?
Like if you get, I don't know, you just, I don't see the vibe. I don't get the priest.
I'm a holy man.
I don't really want to get canceled here, but no, I'm kidding. No, I just don't know why. I just don't, like, I can't see you. Like, if I'm visual, you know, you talk about manifesting. Let me manifest me going to a church, which wouldn't happen probably, but let me try it. I don't see you there. I don't see you there.
No?
I don't see. If I was the guy trying to hire you that day, I would have been like, "That's not our guy."
Is that how it worked? No, I don't. I don't think that's how you become a priest.
Like, not for the priest job. For the you being a priest in the.
Oh,
in
right.
The show.
Okay. I thought you meant. Yeah.
No, I'm not working at the church, bro. What the hell?
Well, something really nice about the priest thing was when I went in to do the first scene. The director just said, he said your tape was the best by far, which was really good. Like, it's really good. Sometimes you need to hear that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, you need to, you get all sorts of like imposter syndrome, especially like acting. Like, I don't feel like I am an actor, like, cause I'm not trained in it or whatever. So I always feel a bit out of place doing that. And then to hear like, oh no, we think you're really good. That's immediately puts you at ease, you know?
Right.
So that was really cool. And I had 11 lines to do, and that's the most I've ever had in like a professional thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was really proud of that. And obviously acting, I mean, it pays really well. You know, you're getting like a few thousand or whatever it is. For like,
man, sorry. So I was gonna ask you, what's the financials of that usually? You don't have to go super in detail, but like, sure. Comparing to like a job, like a regular job.
It varies a bit depending on what it is, obviously, because it's, you know, if you're doing a show for Disney, or whatever, compared to the BBC, it's very different. But it's at least it's. Oh, okay. Well, I did. You know, Carl Pilkington, right? You know that guy? You don't? Oh, I thought you might. He used to do a lot of stuff with Ricky Gervais.
Okay. Carry on.
He has a sitcom called Sick of It, and I'm in one tiny bit of that where I'm working in a cinema and I kick him out, and that was like half a day's work, and that was maybe £1,000 or a bit more. It might have been a bit more.
That's not bad. That's not,
I can't
too
remember, but yeah. And then so it's usually a couple of grand, I think.
Okay.
Usually. And then you end up getting like, and this is when you realize how much actors must, like proper actors must make, because then you sometimes get like residuals and stuff. And right. I think I was in that sitcom Catastrophe for, again, like a second. And I don't know what happened. I think it got sold to Amazon Prime, or not sold. I don't know. They acquired it or whatever it is. And I got paid again, like £800 again, like, which I wasn't expecting at all. I know, nothing. Right? Basically, I had one line in it. So then you see how much money there is in that world. And it's, yeah, it's crazy. Right. And then that's not even, obviously, commercials is the stupid money. That's where, like, I've been, I was asked to audition for an Xbox advert once, which was 20 grand.
Holy
I know. That's just stupid, isn't it? That level of stuff. But that's I don't do a lot of those. I'm not very good at the advert thing, and they don't treat you very well when you go in an audition and stuff. So I just stopped. Yeah.
The problem with those is you probably have to audition for like 100 of them before you get one, right?
Probably, yeah. And obviously, I mean, it's good financially, but I don't really want to be on like a McDonald's advert. You know what I mean?
I can see you. No, I'm kidding.
Do you think I could be a priest in a McDonald's advert?
Curb Your Enthusiasm music plays. No, I I don't know. I'm trolling, but I guess the hidden thing there is that you don't get paid per audition, right? Or do you?
No.
So okay, so that's the problem.
Yeah.
So $1,000 a day to anyone that's like thinking about that is like, oh, that's amazing. But you're gonna have to audition to 10 of those, and you only get one, so that's 10 days of work for $1,000. Okay, maybe you won't spend a whole day, but let's just say hypothetically you spend a couple hours. You need to get there. You need to get back, commute.
Yeah, the problem is
4 hours.
You see, if you don't live in London, I'm pretty sure all of the advert auditions are in London. I'm pretty sure they are. So if you lived in somewhere like Manchester, which is quite far away, that's it's really expensive and really time consuming coming into London to probably be rejected, right?
Right.
There's such a slim chance you'll get anything. So that's where it gets. It's difficult, and it's unfair. Like, it really is, you know. That's how it is.
It's actually just deceptively. It's not as unless you're consistently getting roles, it's not as good. Now that I think about it, because if you cut it down to, let's say, you have to do 10 of those to get one, and each of those takes you, let's say, 4 hours in total. Mm-hmm. That's 4 days of work for $1,000. That's $250, and now that's like less than what I make on a normal client. Yeah. Significantly less.
And I mean, I don't know. I look at it like not with commercials and stuff, but with just like normal acting stuff. I look at it as like a learning thing where like, if I don't get the thing, because a lot of it is self-tapes now anyway. Most of it isn't,
you don't have to go to a place.
A lot of it is changed since lockdown because everyone realized not everyone has to go everywhere all the time, you know?
Right.
I don't know about commercials. I think there's still a lot where you have to go in, but there is a lot over self-tape. So that is positive. But because you get to record them yourself and, you know, do as many takes as you want, you do improve. You know, you learn a lot. You become better at it. So,
right.
And I, you know, I can't think like auditioning for a film, like even if it's a tiny role or whatever in something like Barbie or, well, Last Christmas, whatever. It's still
something tiny like Barbie, some small movie like Barbie.
No, I meant the role.
I'm trolling.
But even that, like that's personally now, I think that's a pretty cool opportunity. So I wouldn't think of that as work, really. But, you know, it is unpaid work technically, but.
I get what you're saying. You enjoy it, and you see the outcome being so worth it that it's done.
It's pretty fun. I mean, I think acting is quite fun, and taping can be quite fun as well. But yeah,
would you ever consider having like a regular remote job? Like, I don't know. Would you consider because you have all the skill sets? If you really wanted to get, you can literally get the same jobs as I'm getting. You have all the skills: you content creator, script writing, whatever.
I've looked into a couple of things which would help. Like, there is like social media marketing jobs and stuff, but I've never done it before. But they pay really well, so I might look into trying to get something like that for a bit. But
I'll chat with you off cam. We'll talk a little bit more about off cam stuff.
Okay,
that I cannot disclose on stream. But anyways,
please do, please. I mean, I am on the lookout for stuff. It's weird, man. It's like. It's been really weird for me. Like I've had times of just earning loads of money and then it just goes down again. And it's like, you know, for lockdown, a lot of people that did like, content stuff over lockdown would have seen
Right.
It was crazy, like the views and stuff. So like on Twitch, I was making ridiculous money. And then that obviously goes down at the end of lockdown. But then at the same time, I'm not streaming as much and I'm gigging. But it's like also like with live comedy, it's kind of weird because the fees haven't gone up at all
right.
in like 20 years. But right. the cost of traveling and living has. So it doesn't feel
it doesn't feel fair anymore. Yeah, it doesn't feel as good.
No. So then you don't want to... I don't want to travel around the UK just doing loads of gigs.
Either, yeah.
Because it's exhausting as well.
Exhausting.
It's not really what I want to do.
It's probably so, not yeah. as fun either, right? To be always on the road like that.
It's not. It's not for 20 minutes of stage time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I am trying to figure out... okay, I do have like a plan though. Like I basically... I need to get on things like TikTok and stuff a lot more, which I've been trying to do. And I need to build up my online audience, bring mm-hmm. them into my Twitch if they want, but mainly bring them into my audience at live shows. Because then I've seen people do it. There's people, I know loads of comedians now that have, excuse me, that have managed to do that. And they are selling out good sized venues. And that's a lot of money. Like,
right.
that's a lot. They could make, so if they do a tour, they could make something like, yeah, look, I don't mind talking about money. My last tour I did, what did I make? Probably about $7,000 off of like 20 dates around the UK, something like that. So I sold.
Time frame. Yeah. Give me how many, what's 20 dates? 2 months?
Yeah, I guess.
2 months?
Yeah.
$7,000? £7,000 in 2 months. Does that include the cost of traveling?
No.
Oh.
No. So it's probably so profit is probably five or six, because that doesn't include. It's probably close to five, right?
Okay.
So
right.
it's not nothing. It's okay.
No, it's not. No, of course not.
But you know, it's like it could be. It's just weird because you know it could be way more. So I didn't sell out the tour. There were some dates where I sold loads. Somewhere I didn't sell that well, and I'm not going back to certain places because, you know.
Let's individually shout out each of those places.
that I'm not going back to, yeah.
Let's shout out not just the place, but the event coordinators, the staff, family members. If we could really...
The volunteers.
the volunteers. Yeah. The orphan kids that came to wash for free.
yeah, the volunteers' addresses. I've got friends who have like got huge off of basically doing what like Matt Rife has done, where they've put crowd work up and it's got really popular on TikTok or whatever, and now they can sell out, you know, 200-300 seaters, and it's so much money. And we know, like, we all know that it's weird because they're not necessarily the best comedians. And they know that. It's not like that's not really, I'm not really criticizing. Sure. It's like, we know that it's not about being the best or even being excellent at what you do. You just have to be able to get on stage.
It's just good marketing.
And have a big following. I mean, yeah, yeah.
It's literally good marketing.
but it is hard. I mean, I was explaining it to my wife the other day, actually. And I was saying it feels a bit like, it's like you're like on a slot machine. Like every time you're posting a clip, especially to somewhere like TikTok, because you're like, this could be the thing that gets me like 10,000 followers, because that's what happens, right?
I would say those days are kind of gone. Yeah, I've had like every I think that the days of like that kind of growth is kind of gone. I mean, I've had like for the past like couple months, every single month I've had my clips reach like 120,000 accounts on Instagram, just the Instagram alone.
Yeah,
and that only gets you a trickle down of followers. Maybe that's because I have a variety content, and maybe people don't know if they want to subscribe because I do all kinds of stuff, maybe. Mm. But I think even if you were to do something like that was hyper niche, or let's say something that was like, oh, I do stand-ups, I'm a stand-up guy, I don't think you would grow that much. I think it's a much bigger grind now than people presume it is.
Sure.
Like, I don't think you just need one clip that gets a million views and you get 10,000 subs. Yeah. I think you need like 10 clips that get like 10 million views to get that
Or at least, you know, not necessarily the one clip, but like an idea.
Right.
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 So the first
one
goes crazy, and then you're like, oh, I'm onto something, right?
Consistency. Some volume of consistency. So, I mean,
It's so hard, right? It's so hard because you don't know, like, because you feel like you're gambling or something, right? So you don't, you feel like it could happen with this, it probably won't. So then how much effort do you put into the stuff?
Yeah.
You know, like, do you spend hours on making right. TikTok?
Right. It's weird because, like, I remember even in the FIFA content days, like, these people would get so obsessed with the numbers. And I was, to a certain extent, one of these people at the start of this, like, upload a video, refresh. Is it number one of number? Is it my for best one of the last 10? Like, because YouTube had this really, well, it still has this dirty way of organizing video performance based on, like, how it does in the first couple of days. So good video would be like, oh, this is your best performing video of the last 10, which you're like, awesome. But a bad video would be like, this is not even in your top 10. You're like, fuck, I'm shit. I'm a piece of garbage. I don't belong on earth. So it'd give you this like weird sense of like, I need to keep making stuff to keep like satisfying this like dopamine part of my brain. Now what I do is I upload, I don't even think about it. I just go on to my day. Like I don't check my analytics. And some videos that I put a lot of time into, tank. And some videos that I thought of in an afternoon, filmed in an afternoon, edited in an afternoon, I upload, do well. So I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I'm really thinking these things. So you saw that clip, you messaged me, didn't you? That clip where I'm asking that guy how many British values he has, right?
Right.
Do you even understand what the context is of that? Do you even, have you ever heard the term British values?
No, it just sounded funny that.
Yeah. It's just the thing that gets, that people say. It's like, it doesn't even make sense. It's one of those. It's very vague, right?
Right, right.
People don't even know what it means. And then for me to, like, we don't even know what it is. And for me to keep asking this guy how many he has, it's just so stupid, you know?
Right.
It did well on, it got like 30,000 TikTok views or whatever, which I don't usually get. So that's good. But that series, I'm hoping. So what I've done is, because I am trying to, you know, grow. So the stuff that you like the acting school.
Yes.
Which, if people don't know, it's a series where it was just a little web series where I improvise with a comedian friend and pretend that I'm like an acting coach, but I'm like terrible at acting and I'm an awful guy, basically, is the idea.
Right,
it's like that. This series is going to be called Bilal's Britain. And it's
nice.
About me trying to improve Britain. So I'm like kind of the same character, like very arrogant, but kind of stupid. Right. Like, I don't really know what I'm talking about.
So it's like a life depiction. No,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, I've got that clip. I've got that clip.
Yep.
He's I describe him as a as unapologetically Muslim. That guy. You know, basically, I find out if I assess whether he's allowed back into British society. I'll speak to an environmentalist person. I would do what I'm doing. One, I did one about video game violence as well, and they're all just very silly, you know. But I'm hoping
it's like Ali G in the House style, where he goes and talks to professionals, but he always plays like the really ignorant interviewer, right?
Sort of, yeah, yeah. I guess. Yeah. I mean, but all of my guests, like none of them are real; they're all comedians.
Okay, gotcha.
So you know, we were just messing around. We filmed it in the same place as we did the acting school. It just looks a little bit better. We had a better setup. So I'm hoping that series. I think it's very funny. But I'm hoping to clip that up and share that on stuff. And I'm hoping that will have a bit of an impact. That's my plan.
Are you filming? I just had a curious, this is a technical question. Are you filming vertically with two cameras? Or are you filming like a big horizontal thing and you're going to upload the full scale?
Yeah. So we film it like you would a movie or whatever. And I just edit it on. Just have to do the stupid zoom in thing, right, to make it vertical.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to start filming vertical. Like for stuff like that, I wouldn't film it vertical.
Interesting.
Like, come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Like, come on. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Are you, hey, look, my job, dude. I film vertical. No, I'm kidding. Hey, you're making fun of my job, man.
No, this but I mean, if you have like all the, I don't know, if you have a studio and people in acting and stuff, I feel like, come on, we still have to shoot it like it's a movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? We can still edit it to look like a thing, but I'm not ready for that level of pandering to sort of TikTok yet, if you know what I mean.
My man, HelloFresh.
Yeah.
Vertical stream. I want it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've done the HelloFresh one. I had to, so it would have been extra money if I cooked on stream, but I didn't. Right, I just didn't. I thought about it and then I thought, no.
I don't know why that's such a funny premise. HelloFresh would have given you extra money if you cooked on stream.
Yeah, I know. I know, hey, it's weird.
Can you zoom in on that pan?
Yeah.
Can you zoom in on that toast?
I feel really weird about it. And the thing is, my audience know as well that I don't really want to do it. So it's kind of funny.
I think they get an
extra thing out of watching me. Do you know I did when the it was during the World Cup? I think that's a cat. It was during the World Cup, and I was approached to do by Subway to do just a watch along. It was literally like England versus someone in a groups game. I can't even remember, and it was just that. But it was sponsored by Subway. And look, I think
Was this pre-Jared days of Subway or post-Jared?
I thought you were saying Gerard, who played for England. And I was thinking that was ages ago. No, this is very post-Jared. It's post-Jared and Gerard.
Okay, cool. Carry on. I'm trying to get a time understanding.
Yeah. I actually watched a video essay about Jared recently. Anyway.
Gerard or Jared? Yeah. Wait a minute.
Very different guys, right?
Yeah.
But very healthy, though.
They both ate HelloFresh.
Yeah. I had to do this thing, right, which was so cringe, where I think it was when there was a substitution in the game. I had to be like, oh, it's a sub. And I had to do this with my hands, which listeners can't see. But I had to be like, oh, because that was a Subway thing they were doing. Yeah, I did that for £1,000. I know, man.
No, this is content.
It's funny, right?
Oh, it's so funny because, like, I'm wondering, like, why did he do this? Why did he do this? For how much? And then you're like, I did that for £1,000.
That's the thing. Because there are people who absolutely don't care, right? There's like, most people don't care about adverts at all. They'll do anything, right? They'll completely embarrass themselves. You see,
Ronaldo,
really famous Shopee? Celebrities. Who's that?
A Ronaldo Shopee ad.
Oh, my God. Exactly, right? And you have, like, really, really big celebrities doing these weird mobile phone game ads now. Because obviously they got loads of money. Like, even, like, these Just Eat adverts that are getting out of hand. Like, they clearly don't care. Like, most people are just, give me the money and I'll do it. I don't feel like that. I get really embarrassed. If it's something...
Sure.
And I'd still be very picky. Like, I would never do... I would never advertise for, like, alcohol or gambling or stuff like that because, like, ethically, I don't think, you know.
Not a fan.
Yeah. I think for something like HelloFresh, I thought it's fine. I go on about cooking. I'm quite into cooking anyway, so I kind of made it legitimate in my mind to do it.
You look like a cook. You look like you're a cook.
Thank you. I do like – do you cook?
I love cooking. Yeah, absolutely.
It's
but
fun,
not for
isn't
me.
It?
Only for others. I'm not a fan of – I mean, I cook sometimes for me, but mostly for others.
So what do you eat?
Yeah, here we have something called like food to go, like places, a lot of them, like just a pop-up shop that sells a bunch of like made like quality food.
Okay.
And it's called Comida para Llevar, like food to go, literally. So you can buy fish, you can buy octopus, you can buy pastas, chicken, like all kinds of like as good as I could prepare it myself. Wow, way better than I could prepare it myself. And it's really cheap. It's like... Well, yesterday I ate salmon and potatoes. It was €7.50. No, it was €7.
That's good. What is that in pounds?
I don't know. Like seven.
Five?
€7 to pounds. £6. Six pounds.
Yeah, that's
for
not
salmon
bad,
and potatoes. That's a. I mean, for me to make it to buy the ingredients, it would take me an hour, and then I think, okay, that's an hour I lost of work, and I get paid X amount of dollars per hour.
Yeah.
And I also lose energy for preparing food. So, like,
no, you know, look,
there's a lot of times where I just buy it.
I do think you do seem like you've got things under control. Like, you know, if you can, you're doing okay. Like, you've got your job
financially.
And stuff. So, you're allowed to treat yourself. Oh, sorry. You're allowed to treat yourself to a €7 piece of salmon and 3 potatoes.
So condescending. So condescending.
Yeah, I didn't
that was so perfect.
I don't know why that happened.
Oh,
you got
€7 for fucking potatoes, eh?
I was being really sincere, and then it was just funny to say that at the end. three tiny
potatoes. 7 euros for three potatoes, huh? You fucking, oh, I don't know, you're fucking the queen. Are you the queen? The queen, gov.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a big difference between buying that and like what I was doing in lockdown when I was earning loads on Twitch is I was getting like Deliveroo like all the time.
Oh,
and
it's so expensive. That one hurts. I'm going to send you a video. You haven't seen it. I'm going to send you a video of the place that I got food from.
Okay.
And you can see the quality and the food they have, variety. That's big. One is variety, one is quality. Because you can't eat the same thing every day. You'll get bored out of your mind, right?
Sure.
It's actually amazing. And they have a lot of these places in Spain. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense almost to buy the ingredients when I could just have a pre-made thing that's delicious. And relatively healthy.
We have a thing called, I think it's called Too Good To Go. Have you heard about this? You basically, there's certain places that do it, restaurants or whatever, and they just make these bags of like basically leftover food.
That sounds horrific.
Yeah, I made it sound like they scrape it off people's plates.
Yeah, you do. I believe that what you're talking about is a homeless shelter, my man, and that's not food for you. That's food for the homeless. This guy's going to homeless shelters, and he's like, dude, you can get endless food completely free. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that looks good. I'm looking at your little video you sent. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it looks good. No, they just like, you know, things like... the stuff that doesn't get sold, they sort of pack it into a little bag, and it's like a lot cheaper than it would be. Right. But I've not tried it yet. But yeah,
I mean, I need you to come to visit me in Valencia. Yeah, I'd like to see the life.
You know what? If I get something, if something happens for me, like I'll make you a promise. If I have something really good happen career wise, like a big thing that is like a cause for celebration,
hell yeah!
Then I'll make Valencia my place. So you're saying it wrong, by the way.
We don't say it like that. Yo, that would be a good thing to write into like the your character. Like, yeah. You're telling me that I say Valencia wrong. Like,
that's exactly the sort of thing you do. Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know what? Valencia is actually said with a B. It's Valencia.
Valencia.
Here they pronounce their V's as B's. Yeah, so no one here actually says Valencia. They say
and
Valencia.
Is that everyone? Or is that the sort of
that's
part of Spain?
The province of Valencia, of like Valencia.
Yeah.
That's how people speak here. Now, in Barcelona, they speak with a bit of an accent or I believe like the C's are like th, like Barcelona.
Yeah.
Or other parts have different areas where they put a lot of their emphasis in their words. But in Spanish, in all Spanish, V's are B's. In Latin American Spanish, it's V's are V's. So
vis-a-vis.
Latin Americans, yes, so Latinos would say Valencia.
Is there a noise? Is there a background noise or is it fine, by the way?
I don't hear it.
Okay, great.
No, it's good. So in Latinos would say Valencia, like,
oh, do they?
They don't have that accent yet.
Okay. Yeah. So well, I'd love, fact. I've never been to Spain.
I think it sounds like you're in like a little bit of a drought in terms of weather and lifestyle. Yeah. I think it wouldn't hurt to just, you know, come on.
Yeah.
It's like a 100 euro ticket. I know. Not even 100. What am I talking about? I know a friend who flew from Manchester to Valencia. It was 27 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. There's times you can find it. It's dirt cheap. So 27 pounds and you have your accommodation sorted upstairs.
Oh.
It's a cheap trip.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, I will. So that's hopefully now something will happen. As in, if I could land some kind of, you know, because the thing is for me, it's like, it's weird because it's like, I'm not satisfied. I mean, no one's ever satisfied, but like,
right.
I'm not that happy about things generally. Like, it could be better work-wise. But I know that something can turn very quickly. Like, I've got this Radio 4 thing I mentioned, and I'll probably be pitching an idea to them. And then if I actually manage to get a series, that's quite a big deal. Like, and financially, that's really good. That's thousands. I'm not sure how much.
I just love this notion that like you need a massive lottery ticket to buy a 20 euro flight to Valencia. Like, that's a funny premise within itself.
No, but what I mean is, I don't feel like I can go on holiday right now because I've got too much.
Oh,
stuff to
come
do.
On!
You know what I mean?
Come
too much
on.
Work.
Okay, if it's work, that's different. But like, do you feel like you deserved a holiday?
Well, I just had Christmas. I just had to go over to my in-laws and stuff for Christmas, and that felt like...
Is that a reward or...
No.
Is that a punishment?
No, it was nice.
Lovely.
Or like, there's I could even like...
For the ones that are listening, there's a gun behind his head as he said that was nice. Yeah. his wife is in the room holding a gun to his head.
I could get like... if there's auditions I get where it's like a recurring sitcom character. And again, that would be massive. Like, that could change everything. So it's like, there are things that can happen that can change your life. But it's just like, it's been a while. I mean, it did kind of, to be honest, Twitch changed my life when that happened. Big time. Because that gave me like a big audience, which I just didn't have before. So you never know, innit? It's like something else could kick off like that.
So another reason for traveling, which I really like. So 2 years ago, I actually did a podcast with this guy. His name is Stefan. He was a data analyst, Serbian guy, lived in Amsterdam. When we talked, I kind of realized, okay, this is like just like me, but he lives in Amsterdam. Like if my parents decided to go to Amsterdam, I think we would turn out almost identical. Like he went down the content space. He likes traveling. He's a freelancing, whatever. And through that, we became good friends. And one of the best things that I did was, and we both did, like he visited me in Valencia and I visited him in Amsterdam. And visiting someone for a week just to see how like their life is, how they work, it's a really good like motivator. It's also a good like, it's a good boost. It's like an energy boost. It's like, you know, you ever play Mario Kart?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know when the two cars like in the newer ones hit each other and you get like a speed boost? Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it felt like. It felt like, oh, okay, he does this way. Like, okay, he structured his day this way. Or he's getting his income from this. Like, I got to spend literally 5 days with him, and I kind of got to see how his life works. And I'm like, oh, I like this side of this. Why couldn't I just do that? I could. Why don't I implement? And that's vice versa. Cool. He came here. He's like, oh, I like the sun here. So he actually is really interesting. He lives in Amsterdam, but he really doesn't like the weather in the winter. So during those times, he does, not a term he made up, but intermittent traveling. Intermittent nomading. So for the shittier months, he just goes to a warmer place. So he comes, visits me for 5 days, goes to, I don't know, Dubai or some random other place that's warm. And the energy boost from escaping like a cold climate, the lack of sun, he's like, it's more than enough for me to, when I come back home, I'm like reinvigorated.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of value to that.
I forgot to mention.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice, isn't it? Like, I really love the... Do you care about buildings? Are you excited?
This is a thing most people don't know. I love good urbanization.
Yeah.
I love it. I love bike lanes. I love good public transportation.
Yeah.
I love good building structure and layouts. Mm. Not even trolling people. I watch like countless hours of this channel called Not Just Bikes. It's a Canadian guy that moved to Amsterdam. And he just talks about good urbanization.
Cool.
So go back to the buildings.
I loved walking around looking at the architecture there, man. That is just so nice. Yeah. It's just beautiful.
It's a beautiful place. What time of the year did you go?
When did we go? Like, it was summer.
Summer, was that's when you want to be there.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was great. It was really nice. But just like, they have a really nice consistency with their architecture that we don't have in London.
Right. Because
you just have foreign billionaires come and like just do whatever they want and just build flats wherever, and they all look weird, you know. It's like there's a lot of that, so yeah, it's kind of, London looks kind of crazy, but Amsterdam's got that really nice, all the black window sills and stuff. Really nice, man. I thought about moving there. I wondered if I could see myself moving there, but I'll tell you something I didn't like about it, which I'm interested to see if you agree. So me and my wife went for like 4 days or something. There was very little small talk from strangers. Do you know what I mean? Everyone keeps themselves to themselves, which is fine, obviously. Yeah. But because we were together for a week or whatever, hanging around, you know, restaurants and stuff. Sometimes someone just gets chatting to you. I'm used to that happening. And not like their life story, but it's just a bit of that. And it felt like there was none of that in my time in Amsterdam. And I spoke to a Dutch friend and he said, that's not really They don't do that.
They're a little more reserved. Although I can't tell you from my experience, because I got a very like I got the best version of Amsterdam, because I went with a friend. I stayed at his house. He showed me the inner workings of the city. I met his friends. So like it was always felt like a, you know,
that's
open,
different.
Tight community. Yeah. As a tourist, I don't know. I don't know what that would be like. Spain is kind of like that, because mostly it's because of a language barrier thing. But once you learn a little bit of Spanish, everyone here is open. Like the other day I was on the bus and I was just listening to my music. It was really full and I'm just standing there. I have my Valencia sweater and the bus driver starts asking me like, do you think we're going to win? And it took me a second to process. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, the Valencia, like tomorrow, Atletico, big game. I'm like, oh yeah. Like, I don't know. I think we have a chance. So we just have a conversation about Valencia. And that happens all the time. Like, that's not a one-off occurrence.
Football is a very good conversation starter as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant.
Football is a great way to like bring people's guards down. Like, if you know a little bit about football.
Do you ever go? Do you ever go see Valencia?
All the time. We actually went last week. Yeah. They beat,
I love their stadium, man.
The Mestalla?
It looks amazing.
Yeah, it's dope. No, it's dope. That's like I said, if you ever come here, easy get tickets, we'll go. That's
Are they number one on the list. Are they in the Europa League this season? What's
currently crushing it. I don't know what's going on. They've won the last four of their five games. They are in the seventh spot. They just beat Athletic Bilbao, who beat Barcelona in the cup. So they're actually killing it. I don't know.
But are they playing in Europe as well?
Last year they were close to relegation. No, last year they were. Like
right, I didn't know that.
They have a really bad owner. There's a lot of drama within the club. No one likes the owner. They actually have signs that say "Lynn, go home," and they hold up at every game at the 90th minute. Thousands of banners.
Oh damn!
But it's funny because the guy—I don't think he's actually ever been to Valencia, so he is home. I'm not. he can't be more home than he is. He's never been to the fucking city.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, no, I've seen when Arsenal have played Valencia and stuff, I always think that stadium looks amazing. It's kind of got a weird shape, doesn't it?
It's very vertical, so it feels like it's very tight. Like there's no bad seats in the stadium. It's very like,
that's great.
I don't know, like a bowl, like a really deep bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to do, I've never really traveled that much, really. And it would be nice to do that more. I think I've just got to get settled in, like we've been saying. If I can sort out my routines and all of that stuff, and yeah, that'd be great.
Come on down anytime. You're always welcome. I've said that since day one. We've done an hour and 5 minutes. Actually.
Oh yeah,
flew by.
Yeah, it was great.
Flew by. This is our nice little annual catch up. I'll talk to you a little bit more about some of the freelance stuff after. What are you currently working on? What's in the near future?
Okay, so my tour around the UK, for anyone listening, UK and Dublin, one day in Dublin, is in May and June. You can find that on my sort of Twitter or website or whatever.
We'll include links.
Instagram. Apart from that, I mean, I'm not writing a new show this year. I'm trying to have a break to try and write more scripted stuff and focus my energy there, because writing an hour of comedy, it really takes up all your time. All your anxiety goes into that. You know,
of course,
you don't really do anything.
Some of the best comedians in the world can't do an hour a year.
yeah. So yeah, having a break from that and just trying to write stuff. So I'm just going to be trying to make lots of stuff for Twitch, YouTube,
TikTok. Well, we see you dancing on TikTok. Can you confirm live on this podcast that you will be in fact dancing to potentially a HelloFresh ad?
Yeah. I'm doing that for £30.
I'm doing that for a free meal from Ellen.
Yeah.
I don't sell out unless it's for a free meal from HelloFresh.
Yeah. So I'm going to be, I'll be releasing a little series called Bilal's Britain on a little, it's a little satirical thing on, that'll be on YouTube mainly.
How many episodes?
Just four currently. I'm going to see how it goes. Also, I mean, the plan is to have that, maybe cut it down to a little 1 minute thing, all the episodes, and then try and pitch that to TV and see if that could go anywhere. Because it's like, if you can see what my character's like, and then I can write other things for him to do, you know, that's the plan.
Right.
It's worth a go. Yeah, that, and then yeah, I just always got stuff going on online.
Twitch streams weekly, monthly. What's the new
weekly? Yeah, well, weekly? So the PES thing is weekly, and there's still a lot of people committed to that. So I have to keep that going. Oh my god, I've nearly done 200 of those.
Really?
Yeah, I've done like 196, I think.
Damn. Yeah. Good for you. That's awesome. Yeah,
it's crazy, isn't it?
A little scary.
yeah. It started in April 2020. That's I think when I did my first one, or maybe May. Yeah. So it's I think that's everything I got going on. Yeah, lots of stuff. I'm really. Do you have a Patreon?
I don't.
I am trying to. So I've got a couple of friends who do really well off Patreon, and I've been speaking to them for advice and stuff. And I'm gonna do more on there, but that's obviously like you have to like me first, so that's behind a paywall.
Oh, that's gonna be hard. That's gonna be hard to do.
yeah, exactly. So I'm not promoting. That would be weird to promote that,
right?
To someone who doesn't know me.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, you can't promote Patreon. No, I'm not. You're right. You're right.
But I was just asking you if you do that. Yeah, because I'm going to be putting a lot more effort into that, basically, because that's a good side income if you can make it work.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, that's everything. But yeah, thanks for having me again, man. Good to chat.
Always a
good
pleasure. I hope we do this more often. I hope we maybe just, you know, we do it in person, but not actually a pod, just hang out.
yeah, sure. Yeah, in Valencia.
In Valencia. If you've learned one thing on this episode, folks, it's how to say it correctly. And that's it.